Happy day to you. Yep, I'm just going to hit you with that positivity each and every time you download the Cool Sore Podcast. Put a smile on your face because you are listening. That means you're still alive. That means your life still has purpose. So for that, you should be very, very happy. Like, man, okay, it's not over. The purpose has not been fulfilled. Or maybe you're walking in your purpose and you are supposed to continue to walk in your purpose. Therein lies the reason you got another day to do it. Make sure that you do something that works towards your purpose if you have not fulfilled your purpose yet. So yeah, that is my little nugget for you today. Hey, how you doing? Hopefully you're doing well. I'm doing pretty darn good. Today we are joined by a good friend of mine. His name is Brian Johnson. So yeah, it's a Goobra segment. And he's a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. He used to be a board member for me on my nonprofit, sportygirlsinc.org. Yeah. So if you're interested in what I do over there, you can always log on to that website, sportygirlsinc.org. So make sure you check us out and the amazing things we're doing over there. But anyway, back to Brian. Live Your Dreams Out Loud. Yes, he has a book that is available, a best-selling book that is available on Amazon and all over the world wide web. He's going to release it again in the next couple of weeks. He also has just launched his show via Facebook Live, The Brian Johnson Show. He'll talk about that in the episode. Of course, we had a chance to chat a couple of weeks ago. So since then, it has launched. And I will make you aware that my voice was a little bit raspier than usual on this particular episode after a night of hosting a Herradura tequila bartender competition. I was the host, and I also made sure that the drinks were on par. So, that was the result of that. But I had a great time. So thanks to those folks for allowing me to come out there and host for their awesome event. But it's all about Brian Johnson right now. And you will be inspired because he went through a lot. He talks about a time in 2011 where he wanted to really give it all up. And when I say give it all up, yes, the extreme of giving it all up. But he did not. And he is here today to speak to you about living your dreams out loud. Here he is, Brian Johnson on the Cool Sore Podcast. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of.
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. Good day, good people. It is another episode of the Cool Soror Podcast, and you guys know I love when I have my brothers on, and today is a cool brother feature, and my man, Brian B.J. Johnson, who's a good friend of mine, and he's a cool bruh of
Alpha Phi Alpha.
How you doing today, man?
Man, I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice, man. And more importantly, man, it's so great to see you doing this podcast, man. I mean, you know you got to get the gab with life in general, but to be doing this podcast, man, and know how your numbers are growing, I'm just so proud of you, man.
Thank you so much, BJ. You know, that means a lot coming from you. You are a serial entrepreneur. You are a dreamer. What would you consider yourself? Before we get into the nuts and bolts of who you are, what do you call yourself, BJ?
A country boy from Skipperville, Alabama. You know, that's what I consider myself to be. I'm a dude from Skipperville, Alabama, that's currently living in Los Angeles, man, pursuing this thing called a dream.
Yeah. Where is Skipperville, Alabama?
Southeast corner of Alabama. I would say you went to school in Tallahassee at FAM. You know where Dothan, Alabama is?
I sure do.
All right, so we're like 35 minutes away from Dothan in the cut in the country by the pigs with a rooster that wake you up every morning.
Yeah. Skipperville, Alabama. And so you made your way to the University of Alabama for college. Was that always your number one choice?
No. I just wanted to go play basketball somewhere. I didn't necessarily care where I went. I actually played junior college basketball first. An interesting story to you. I actually got a scholarship to FAMU, but instead of going to FAM, I went to University of Alabama.
What? I mean, why you do that? What was your decision?
Well, I'm still waiting on my financial aid, you know?
Oh, got yeah. it. Yeah, yeah. It came kind of slow. You know how we do at black schools sometimes.
But, you know, I missed out on that experience, man. And to see, you know, the camaraderie that, you know, people that go to HBCUs, that they have, you know, for life, man. I missed out on that. So sometimes, you know, I regret it. You ain't supposed to have any regrets, but I do regret that I didn't get a chance to go to FAM or Howard.
You know, it's all right. We still, you know, whenever we're together and you're amongst your HBCU friends, you know, we embrace you still.
And I still, hey, I'll go to a HBCU homecoming now, like I went to school there.
Right, right. They'd be like, man, why are you at Alabama State at our homecoming? Did you go to Alabama State and Alabama A&M's homecoming a lot?
Yeah, I did. But yeah. I was more so down in Tallahassee for that Kappa Luau and FAMU's homecoming. Because yeah. I used to work at Governor Square.
Wait a minute. You worked at Governor Square when?
So back in high school, I used to work at Foot Action, and they needed somebody to come and fill in down at Governor Square. So I used to commute back and forth for about 3 to 6 months working down at Governor Square in Tallahassee.
Wow. So yep. You got the experience, and you were like, well, okay, let me go in and experience some of this cottage life while I'm down here. It's awesome.
You know it, man. Man, it's good to be on here, man. I'm enjoying you already.
Look, I'm going to keep you laughing the whole way through. But, of course, we'll get a little serious a little bit later on in the conversation. So let's talk about when you graduated with a dual degree from the University of Alabama, Spanish and World Business with a concentration in international marketing. Where did you go right after college?
Man, I went into that thing that they call corporate America.
Yeah.
And you know, I started exploring that good job.
Yeah.
You know, I was the first to graduate college in my immediate family. And, you know, everybody, you know, I was conditioned to go out and seek that good job, you know, get that good paying job.
Yep.
And you know, all of these great benefits. And I was kind of indirectly forced into that situation. So I went out and actually worked for a company called Philip Morse.
Oh, yeah.
That makes Marlboro. So I was a territory sales manager living in Huntsville, Alabama, overseeing 173 chain and independent stores, managing a $27 million territory. I did that for 6 months of my life as soon as I graduated.
Oh, God. You out there slinging cigarettes.
Man, slinging cigarettes, but got a heart for the kids. Like, it was crazy.
So were you immediately torn once you got in?
It took about 2 months because I was chasing the money.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we chase the money, man, and they put those dollars out there. And I chased the money. I had never seen $65,000 a year with, you know, all the perks and company car, company credit card and all that stuff. I had never seen that before. So
right.
The money held me up. The money chase, that lasted for about 2 months. And then I went into a state of depression in and out of the hospital. So eventually I got fired, and then that's when I moved to Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go back to this state of depression. Like, do you think you kind of fell into depression because of what you were doing, or were some other things going on?
No, it was just what I was doing,
yeah.
And I couldn't see any way out. I didn't know what else to do. You know, I felt like I had pigeonholed myself. And I, you know, growing up, you know, in a single parent household, man, always hustling, being an entrepreneur in some sort of fashion. I didn't have no way out. I didn't understand what was going to be next. And I was literally laying in the bed praying to God, asking him, you know, what is it that I'm meant to do on this earth? Like, what am I supposed to be doing in this moment? I know that this job is not for me. So if that's the case, then take it away from me. I don't want it.
Right.
And man, he showed up. And,
yeah.
It just kind of happened.
So you do they part ways with you or you quit?
They found a way. I don't know how much you want to harp on this, but they found a way to get rid of me.
Uh-huh.
Living in Huntsville, and I was working in Florence. You know, it's a very racist place, and I was having to call on these chain and independent stores in the backwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of the managers and owners of these stores didn't necessarily want to give me the right kind of respect, you know,
right,
simply
right.
because I was black and
right.
I was the only black guy they probably saw come through there.
Yeah.
So it was that situation. You know, I was outside my car one time, you know, somebody come by, you know, yelling the word nigga outside the door. You know, just it was just stuff like that, man. Yeah. It just started getting to me a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So that had a lot to do with it.
Okay. So you go to Phoenix, Arizona. So then what happens in Phoenix?
So I literally maybe have $4,000 or $5,000 saved up, and my boy at the time is playing for the Arizona Cardinals, and he has a window tinting shop. Mm-hmm. And you know, in Phoenix, or in Arizona specifically, should I say, window tinting is big, not just for cars, but for houses and buildings too as well.
Right, because of the heat.
Yep, that heat. Mm-hmm. So man, he had a window tinting company, and I just went out there and started helping him for free. He wasn't paying me nothing at first, and then all of a sudden, man, he wanted to get rid of the shop, and he sold it to me for $1.
What?
Yep. He sold it to me for $1. And so I started running the window tint company. I had 5 people on staff that I managed up until 2008 hit. And when the market took a tumble, because majority of our clientele came through blinds companies. I had a contract with some blind companies because they, when they would go in and sell the blinds, they would sell the tint too as well.
Right.
So when the economic, you know, downfall happened and the housing market crashed, like that affected us pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I had to close shop, man, in 2008, and that's when I moved to Atlanta.
You moved to Atlanta, and I meet an amazing gentleman. He came in to interview for a board position for my nonprofit, Sporty Girls Incorporated. How did you find out about Sporty Girls?
Man, who introduced me to Sporty Girls? Was it the young lady? What is her name? Oh my gosh. Her boyfriend was Mike, or her husband now, Mike. Autumn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Autumn Bailey. Not Bailey, but I remember. Yeah. Autumn Burton. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Autumn Burton. I think it was Autumn introduced me. I think she recommended me. Okay. Either her or Kelly. I can't remember. One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very strong. Yeah. We had both of those ladies were very strong on board members for us. And so you walked into the room and we got all these women, you know, interviewing. They were like, and you walked out, they were like, well, who was that? But your interview was amazing. You came on board, and not only were you an amazing board member, but we became friends. And and for that, I'm just forever grateful. So you got to Atlanta. Not only were you a board member for me, but what else were you doing? I mean, what else? Where were you working at the time? I can't remember.
I'm not even going to tell you this, man. Like, okay. I don't even really want to go down this path again, but it's good for you to know.
And right.
For those that are listening, I went back to doing what I was doing initially out of college.
You did?
Yeah. But this time I went to go work for RJ Reynolds, the people that make Cool. You know, I went to the competitor.
Oh, my.
And it was just because it was me leaning on that degree,
yep,
not necessarily knowing what I wanted to do, but I needed some income. I started working for RJ Reynolds and did that for 6 months and fell into another state of depression.
Dang.
So, did that.
You never told me that.
Yeah, did that, man. Hey, I've done a lot.
Lord.
Yeah.
Dang.
Just like that.
So you finished doing that. When was, because you are a dreamer and because of what you're doing now, and I remember you said you prayed to God while you were working for the first company, and you said, what am I meant to do, God? Did he reveal it to you then, what you were meant to do?
I've always had a desire and a passion and a love for helping people and speaking to people and all of that good stuff. But I just it wasn't clear to me. He didn't necessarily reveal everything to me, but what he did give me was experiences and people along the way to begin to help and shape what it was that I was ultimately meant to do.
Okay. So you were
kind of,
yeah, it does. So he was giving you pieces of the dream.
Pieces of the dream.
Yeah.
But I wasn't fully committed to him, and I wasn't fully committed to what I was asking him to give me.
Yeah. When did you become committed? Because, you know, you and I we've had prayer calls, we prayed together. I mean, we've definitely come together as we go to the throne of God. But when did you become the BJ that you are in relationship with God?
Can I give you this 5 minutes of deep dive into what it really is?
This is your show.
Okay. So I don't think you don't know all of this, but I was working at RJ Reynolds. Man, fell into that state of depression again, sitting here asking myself, God, what is it meant for me to do? Like, please show me, please reveal to me. One day, I don't go to work. I'm sitting at the house and I'm thinking to myself, like, what do I need to be getting involved in right now? Like, I need to speak. I need to help people. I kind of think I know what he's telling me to do, but I'm not sure. So I went on Craigslist, man, and looked for this job. Mm-hmm. And oh, this is really going to be good for this particular segment, because this is about the cool bruh. So I went on Craigslist, man, and found this job. And it was like the national field director of a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And so I go in and meet with the guy. And he clearly tells me that I don't have enough experience. They're looking for somebody with 10 plus years experience. And but, you know, he wants me to go home and change my resume, do this, do that, come back, because he has a good feeling about me and a good vibe. And I come back and meet with him and give him my resume. Mm-hmm. And he offers me the job. And he tells me, the reason why I'm giving this job to you is because you're a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. And so am I.
Wow.
And this one is on the shield.
Whoa.
On the shield.
Wow.
And so he gives me the job. Right.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm like the national field director of this nonprofit traveling around the country. And that's kind of like where everything started changing for me in Atlanta. And this took place back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And you did that for how long?
I did that for 4 years. And that's where I met one of my mentors. And that's where I met Tavis Smiley. Mm-hmm. So, you know, up until that point, man, I was working, doing this consulting as a national field director for 4 years. You know, it felt really good. I felt like it was, you know, opening up my purpose some and what I was ultimately meant to be doing, but it just didn't feel right. So here I come again. I'm in this position of wanting to pray and figure out, hey, like, what am I supposed to really be doing? Long story short, the nonprofit ends up folding. And okay. this is when I become homeless, you know, depressed, sleeping out of my car, taking showers at LA Fitness. I made a bad investment. I lost a lot of money. So that's when, you know, shit really hit the fan and I'm stuck in a situation of like, what am I really here to do? I am tired. And so I was broke, busted, and disgusted, man. I didn't have nothing. You didn't know this.
Sure didn't.
Yeah, I was literally living out of my car. This is how my book starts. It starts talking about, you know, the depression and where I was and when I wanted to take my life and, you know, all of that stuff, man. It was a very dark space for me, but it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
BJ, you never told me this. So I was around you during this time.
Yeah. You remember I had lost so much weight?
Yes.
Yeah. I lost a lot of money, man. I made a really bad investment trading stocks. And I just didn't have anything. I'm not one of these cats, you know, move home or, you know, call and, you know, tell mom I need. I had to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know. I had to figure it out. And so at that particular point in time, I had met Tavis Smiley and when I was working for the nonprofit. And I just, you know, my dream has always been to have my own show, man, to speak, to have my own nonprofit. And he pretty much just embodied the same spirit of what it was that I ultimately wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to him because him and I have the same mentor and told him, like, look, bro, like, you know, I know you're a Kappa and I'm an Alpha, but, you know, look, you got something going on really amazing, as you know. And, you know, I just want to learn from you and you don't have to pay me nothing. I just want to come learn and come shadow you and, like, you know, just soak up all the information. And he was like, cool. He's like, why don't you come out here first and see if you like it? And if you like it, then we'll figure it out. Now, Rashawn, at the time, I didn't have anything, man. Like I was freaking, I had crumbs. So I had to scrape up some cash, man. And he provided me with a place to stay. I had like $325 maybe going out to Los Angeles. So he put me up in a place to stay and I just started helping him as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 6 weeks into it, man, he gave me like this huge contract and that changed my life. And that pretty much put me on my feet.
Oh my goodness. Oh, who? So when you were going through all of these things in the flesh, who did you lean on, or did you just lean on God?
T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Eddie Murphy with Coming to America, Jay-Z albums, Kanye West albums, man, anywhere I could find inspiration, you know, anywhere I could find some sort of inspiration or something that was tangible.
Right. So what about Coming to America that was inspirational to you?
You need to laugh. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Okay, like, I got you.
I'm inspired by, you know, greatness. Like, I feel like that's one of the best movies of all time, specifically for our culture and our generation.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so I just needed that. I needed that laugh, man. So I had to have a balance of things to kind of level the playing field of my emotions at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now you get this contract with Tavis Smiley. And, you know, I'm here for all of this because we talk regularly. And, I'm mad you ain't say nothing. But anyway, it's all good. You get to reveal it in this space and help other people who may be going through. So you get this opportunity. Because when you told us that you were going to L.A., we were like, man, BJ, don't lead, dog. Man, we having a good time. You're like, dog. Inside, you're like, I'm homeless. I need help. You know what I mean? So, like, I didn't know that you were dealing with all of this. So now it's become a little bit more clear for me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was dating a young lady at the time. So, I mean, after that homeless period, I was able to, you know, live with her for a little bit, man. And she's just a jewel. She helped me out as much as she could. But, you know, I just wasn't comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy thing is, man, I mean, Tavis, I initially was going out there just to shadow him. And then 2 weeks prior to me leaving to go out there, he hit me up and was like, yo, I know you know how to produce events. I'm doing this event for the presidential inauguration of 2012 mm-hmm. in D.C. I need you to produce this event from A to Z. I need you to book the talent. I need you to book, create the website. I need you to do all the marketing. I need you to book the venue. I need you to cover logistics. And this is like the beginning of December, because I moved out there December the 9th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And so the event is January the 17th
right.
in D.C. And so, man, I went and covered that thing, man, and I did it. And his event trended number one
wow.
On Twitter. And that's when he decided to give me a contract. But the irony in all of this is that his producer at the time of his television show was from Alabama and went to Alabama.
Oh,
and
wow.
That guy was. Yeah, it's crazy. So, I mean, I didn't know that, but that guy was leaving Tavis to go work on the Arsenio show. And so the same way that I reached out to Tavis, I reached out to Neil. That's the guy's name, the producer. He was going to be the executive producer of Arsenio. And I said, hey, Neil, like, listen, man, you know, my goal and my dream is just to have my own show. Can I come over to Arsenio and just learn and just soak up this information? And he said, man, why don't you come in and I'll sit down and have a talk. So we went in and sat down and had a talk. And, you know, talked Alabama football,
right.
And then he offered me a job. He offered me a job on the spot.
Man,
and that's how the Arsenio thing happened. So I think the lesson in this, Rashawn,
mm-hmm.
is that I've just been adding value to people. You know what I mean? Just
right.
seeking out ways to add value to people, not looking for anything in return because the people they couldn't pay me for the experience that I was going to get. And it's yeah. just opened up so many doors to the path of this dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah, being obedient, not like. You've been in a space where you were chasing money and you see where that led you. So now when you're just, you know, in the space of adding value to other people and being obedient to where God is leading you, then the payoff comes because it comes from him.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, man.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. So you worked for Arsenio and you did that for how long?
I did that for the first season. We only did one. He only lasted one season.
Right.
And so
after that, I mean, in this time though, you were still, were you doing speaking engagements? Cause you are a motivational speaker. You go to colleges, you go and sell your books. You do so many different things. Were you still doing those at the time you were working for Arsenio for that season?
No, what happened was once Arsenio ended, you know, I took all of the experience because I had been dibbling and dabbling as a speaker. You know, I tried to write my first book back in 2008. I wasn't complete. I wasn't whole. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the business of it. I didn't understand, you know, like the logistics of everything. So, you know, being around Tavis for 6 months, you know, and sitting there seeing, you know, these speaking contracts coming in, you know, high five figures, seeing him hit, you know, being there with him in his process and just learning as much as I could. Once Arsenio ended, that's when I wrote the book, Live Your Dreams Out Loud, released it. It became a bestseller. And then I just went across the country, just touring, doing media everywhere, and just basically applying all the knowledge that I had learned from Tavis and over the course of the years.
Do you think, in retrospect, when you had those troubles trying to write it in 2008, it just wasn't time for it to be written because you had not experienced enough?
Yeah, I was stretching.
Yeah.
I was stretching. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I wrote a book. Here's the thing. I wrote a book about purpose. You know what I mean? I wrote a book about, it was called Get Excited on Purpose, but I was not fully immersed into my purpose. I just had one toe in it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it was the genesis. It was the genesis to let me know that, you know, this is something that you're supposed to be doing. And it just felt right. And it was a good testing ground for me.
Yeah.
You know,
how much more clear are you on your purpose now?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. Like, yeah. 1,000,000%. You know, like when you write a book, man, and, you know, it's not about the numbers of selling thousands of copies, but it's about people sending you testimonials and saying what your book has done for them. And, you know, you're on stage speaking and people are literally breaking down crying because you're sharing your story. Like, man, it really does something, you know, to you and your soul, man. It speaks volumes.
Yeah, I totally understand that from just getting comments about, you know, certain shows and how they've impacted other people's lives. I mean, that's when you know, when you are helping other people, when you know, and you've always said this to me, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than, once you really grasp that concept, and I think that's when purpose really shows up. And I feel it, and I never forget that you told me that. When did that statement become real for you, that it's bigger than you?
After I moved to Los Angeles and how things just started happening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I told myself, after wanting to take my life back in 2011, and just for the sake of just wanting to feel numb, I could understand for the first time in my life why somebody would want to take their life after you're just dealing with stuff.
Right.
And I told myself, man, I said, I'm going to move to Los Angeles. I'm going to work alongside some of the biggest names in entertainment. I'm going to learn everything that I need to learn. I'm going to make it happen. And so when I did that and it started coming into fruition, it just let me know that, you know, life is so much bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know? It just, I mean, because I'm living every single day doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But God is showing me that, yo, he's completely in control. And he's placed this into my spirit for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For those who may be listening, and when you talk about that moment in 2011, when you had considered ending it all, how did you get out of that space? And what would you say to someone who may be feeling that way?
Well, for me in that moment, it was Kanye West.
Really?
And I talk about it. It's really all about, people don't even notice, I'm driving down the road. You know the song Power?
Yes.
So I've heard that song a million times, but I'm literally driving down the road, you know, wanting to feel numb, thinking I might, you know, having considerations of letting the wheel go at my exit.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like on 285 by South Cobb, like contemplating letting this thing just go off.
Man.
And that just being it. And the song Power was on, man. And I've heard that song a million times. And there was a verse and he goes, I just needed time alone with my own thoughts. Got treasures in my mind, but couldn't open up my own vault. My childlike creativity, purity, and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Reality is catching up to me. Taking my inner child, I feel like I'm fighting for custody with these responsibilities that they entrusted me. And when I heard that, it was like, wow. Like, I just need time alone with my own thoughts. You know, got treasures in my mind, but can't open up my own vault. Like, that spoke volumes to me.
Man.
And I went home. I took my shirt off. I threw it in the trash. I stripped completely naked. And I just got down and I just asked God for forgiveness and direction. And man, ever since then, man, it's like he just opened up the floodgates. Like, for real.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. My, that gave me chills.
I don't want to go so dark on here, but I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to cover. And it's you know, like I told, I'm not here promoting my book, but all that stuff is in my book. And that's why I wrote it, because I went through so much and I learned so many lessons and I stepped out on faith and I started really living and doing what I was supposed to be doing. Like, he told me this, you know, in many different ways, that this is what I was supposed to be doing. And I have been avoiding it and running away from it, chasing money, doing other things. But I'm supposed to be a person that's a thought leader out here, inspiring people to live and follow their dreams and live their best life, man.
Yes. I am so thankful that you shared that, because you never know who needed to hear that at this moment, at this time. And that's why I wanted to go back to that moment, because there are people who are dealing and they're dealing alone. And you at that moment were alone and you almost let it take you. And I'm so glad that we're here having this conversation so that you can inspire other people to.
So you asked a question earlier and you said, what would be your advice to people? And I don't think I got a chance to answer. I told you what worked for me. And that was, number one, man, don't be alone. You know, get up and go and find something and do something that's not normal. Surround yourself with other people. Just don't be alone, man. Like, that's the worst thing that you can do, is be alone.
Yeah.
You know, I encourage people to take a different route home, you know, get out of your comfort zone. You know, don't, whatever, what was your normal before? It's kind of like you got to outsmart yourself and set up a system so that you're not necessarily falling back in that rut again. Like, you got to introduce yourself to a new way of living.
Wow. That's good. Introduce yourself to a new way of living. Love it. Love it. Love it. So let's talk about this. In 2004, fall 2004, you became a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. Of course, you alluded to it earlier about, you know, leaning on the shield and how you're, you know, in your professional life, you've been able to definitely benefit from the brotherhood. But did you choose Alpha Phi Alpha, or did Alpha Phi Alpha choose you?
I chose it, but they didn't want me.
Uh-oh. What?
You know?
Uh-oh. What you mean?
Yeah, they didn't want me. They didn't want me at all. But I, man, they didn't want me because I was the dude wearing the Yankee hat and the Air Force Ones and, you know, and the long polo, long white tees. I was that guy, you know, and they were out here with 4.3 GPAs on a 4.2 scale through the government president and, you know, all of that good stuff. So, man, I don't know what it was, but, you know, not having, growing up without a father in my life, man, and just always striving to be the best man that I can be for the most part, and to see other black men in that space who were doing so well at a predominantly white school and to be in these positions, like, I wanted to align myself with that.
Yeah.
And at the time, they were off campus, I mean, off the yard, but they were getting ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they came back, I wasn't on that first line. But I wasn't on spring line. I was on the fall line. And man, it was just, they were just so cool, man. And just, they had their shit together. And I just, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if I can.
No, it's fine. Totally fine.
So they just had it together. And I just wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And I saw the true, real brotherhood in that. And it was just, I just had to have a piece of it. And yeah, they didn't want me on at first. But then they realized that they didn't have any social life. And so, they needed me to come on and help with that social impact, you know?
Yeah.
So I went on and did my thing.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Are you still close to your line? Some of your line brothers? It was just five of y'all. You were the tail.
I was the tail.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not. It's weird. I mean, and I think you understand the dynamics of this. I'm not as close with my line. I'm close with the line that brought me in.
Oh, okay.
So,
gotcha.
You know what I mean? It was weird. I mean, my line, we all are completely different. Well, there are people on the lines that I brought in and lines before me. You know, we just hit it off. You know
what
I mean?
I totally can understand that. I mean, I'm close to, you know, several of my line sisters, but I'm really close to a lot of the the young ladies that I brought in the Spring 97 line. So very, very close to, you know, a lot of them. So I get it. I mean, it's different dynamics and everybody has different experiences. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of being in a fraternity or sorority, because everybody's experience is different.
Yeah. Alpha Phi Alpha is one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not actively involved right now, but I am looking at this chapter here in Beverly Hills. It's a pretty established chapter. So I'm looking to get involved. But I've been doing a lot of things with them recently.
Good.
Over the last few months. I mean, the last few years with my book and stuff. They've been so supportive, man. Like, I just got to get back involved.
Yeah, yeah. They need you. I mean, you know, you're a good brother. And in so many facets of who you are. So, yeah, definitely going to pay them dues, shout it. And get back. Right. But I do. You go ahead.
Oh, wait. No, I'm active.
Active. You're not in a chapter. Okay. You're financial.
I'm financial. Yeah.
Oh, totally. There you go. Okay. Yeah, well, you good then. You good. So I do want you to talk about your book. You have alluded to the book several times, and this is about you promoting your book. So tell everybody where they can get it and what they can expect from reading your book.
Well, the interesting thing is the book is it's called Live Your Dreams Out Loud, 6 Steps to Conquer Your Fears and Achieve Your Dreams. The book can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And that is the first copy. The new version of the book is coming back out this May.
Okay.
It's updated and revised. We've added more chapters to it. And what I found, more so than anything, well, first let me tell you a little bit about the book. The book is a tangible guide, man, for anybody that's got a dream. You know, pursuing your dreams, it's not just one way of going about doing it. But what I did is I went out and interviewed and surveyed over 3,000 people and figured out what was the number one hurdle or problem that they were facing when it comes to wanting to pursue their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the 6 commonalities of that and put it, you know, in a format. And that's basically the book, you know, coupled with my experiences. The book is interactive. So by the time you start the book and you finish the book, you have a plan laid out for whatever your dream is.
Nice.
So, you know, the 6 steps in it is clarity, commitment, connections, competence, conditioning, and cash flow, which is the biggest one. Like, how do you fund your dreams?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm adding 4 more chapters to it. It's coming out in May. It's going to be dope.
Yeah, I mean, everything you do is dope. I mean, you know, it is. And currently, you're doing something really, really interesting now and fun and, you know, and something that was unexpected. But when you're dealing with the man upstairs, he's always giving you stuff like, really, God? Wow. So
yeah.
Tell everybody what you have going on now.
So I'm talent producing right now on a show called Carpool Karaoke. It's a spinoff of this segment on The Late Late Show with James Corden. It's coming to Apple Music because Apple's getting in the content game like Netflix. It'll be coming out in March. So we don't have a host. We just normally have 2 A-list celebrities in the car. It's going to be great, man. So I've been doing a lot of talent producing lately with Apple and Netflix. Man, for me specifically, you know, as an African-American, we don't have these relationships. You know what I'm saying? We're not in these rooms. I'm normally the only Black person working on the show.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So to get in these rooms and develop these contacts and these relationships for what I ultimately want to do, it just doesn't happen. You know, I just got a chance to sit down and have a conversation with Will Smith.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
And yeah, I mean, that just, it would, not saying that it wouldn't happen, but it would be more difficult for me to have it happen right now.
Yeah.
And just to thank him for the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, what it did and helped me in my journey of transition out to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
to sit there and tell him thank you, you know, for that movie. So, I mean, you know, stuff like that, man, it's great. It's a great place to be in. I'm still working. You know, I still have my podcast, still got the book. I still have a lot of stuff going on. But developing and establishing these relationships, man, in this space, you know, with CBS and Apple and Netflix, like, that's just so important. So it's basically like, you know, getting paid to learn and develop relationships.
Sounds beautiful. If you don't mind, what were you able to gain from that conversation with Will Smith?
That he is one of the most amazing souls that I've ever met in my life.
Man.
Just positive, you know, the way that he stops and, you know, speaks to everybody. Man, he's just a great person, man. And just, he's just a real genuine dude. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A real, real genuine good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. So when will the Brian Johnson show be ready to take off?
Are you ready? Man, I didn't think you were going to ask me this.
You never know what to expect from me, honey.
I don't know when this is going to debut, but the show, it launches tomorrow.
Are you lying?
Yeah, it launches tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah.
To where?
On Facebook Live. Facebook Live and Instagram Live.
So okay. What,
I have a producer. A producer found me, man, and said that I had something special. And that, you know, I kind of told her my vision and what it was that I wanted to do. And what my goal always has been is to have my own show that inspires people. And so, man, we just started researching different outlets and looking for places to do this. And, you know, we're always thinking, you know, it has to be this kind of way and it's got to be that. Like, nah, like, you know, we have so much technology right now, man, to be able to do things. And so, yeah, we launched the show tomorrow at 8:30 and it'd be a daily show 5 days a week. We're basically, man, I'm just inspiring people, letting people chime in, ask questions. Cover some topical good stuff, not, you know, too much entertainment stuff, but covering topical good stuff like the teacher that was just, you know, dancing with all the students.
Yeah, their particular handshake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Like covering stuff like that and bringing more light to that, especially in times that we're in right now, just as a nation, as a world, man. It's just so important. So we launch tomorrow at 8:30. It's going to be a 10 to 15 minute show. We don't know what to expect. We got a lot of segments written out of what we're going to test. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm just going to get started with it, and that's what it's going to be.
Man, that is good. That is really good. I'm really excited for you because, I mean, you know, this is your dream, and this is how you continue to live your dreams out loud. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing, man. I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited. I'm just good. Look, shout out to the Cool Soror, the Cool Bruh podcast, man, with Rashawn. Like, man, when I talked to you last night, I got 50,000 downloads. I mean, I remember us having these conversations.
Yes.
And I'm like, Sean, you got to get this podcast. Like, man, do it. And see you constantly putting out this content, man, it's just a blessing. So thank you for having me on here, man. And thank you for just, man, being an inspiration to me, man. Like, you're one of these people, like, when I see you, I get inspired.
Oh, man, you know thank you. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I echo those sentiments about you. So let's keep inspiring each other and inspiring other people along the way.
Totally. Yes. Totally, totally.
And before I let you go, what is your definition of cool?
Ooh. I would just say just Rashawn Ali.
No. I mean, I know I'm cool, but, you know, hey, what is your definition of cool?
I mean, I think it's simplistic. I think it's somebody or something that's simplistic, man. Like, it doesn't, there's not a lot of, how can I say this? You got me right now.
I do.
Because you can be cool and have substance, but your substance may not have a lot of flair to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Okay, here's this. What makes you cool?
Ooh. I like that question.
Yes.
I think what makes me cool is that I've been able to identify what my purpose is in life.
Yeah.
And I'm able to acknowledge where that comes from. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually living it. And I'm not like, It's really scary right now. Like, there's not too much that can rattle me at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've been through so much that it's prepared me for these moments. And so I just think that makes me cool because I understand life more. You know, I got a lot of wisdom at 34. So I think that's what makes me cool.
You are. And you're my cool friend. And I'm so glad that you were able to take some time out to be a part of the show today. Thank you so much, Brian Johnson.
I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart, man. And if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. You know, you always got my love and my support, man. I'm in your corner rooting you on 25-8.
25-8. I'll take that. Brian Johnson, everybody. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one. Yo, my name is Brian Johnson. I'm a best-selling author of the book Live Your Dreams Out Loud. And I'm a cool bruh of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity.
Ice, 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 too cold, too cold. Ice, 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 the black and old gold.